going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, yo, welcome in to WWL, kicking off day two of the 2025 NFL draft coverage, heading into rounds two and three. I'm Jeff Nowak, alongside Charlie Long, Cullen Steele at Master Control. And we, you know, didn't have the fireworks at the end of the first round that maybe we might have expected with a potential trade, with quarterbacks. We only saw two quarterbacks go off the board in the first round. The Saints ended up with Texas offensive tackle Kelvin Banks at number 9, filling a pretty big need with a pretty big body, kind of building that bookend tackle situation across from Talia Seifuaga. Some questions for Trevor Penning, some questions about who plays guard. But obviously, the Saints really were enamored with Kelvin Banks. They ended up with him. We're still going to hear a lot about quarterbacks in this second round. But Charlie, how you feeling? How do you feel about Kelvin Banks? What was your initial reaction, and where are you right now?
Yeah, the top 8 was pretty fascinating, wasn't it? Like, just how, you know, obviously the Travis Hunter trade with Jacksonville from 5-2 was the first big kind of domino to fall. But I think the first real shocker of the night was Carolina at pick 8. One pick before the Saints. Everyone had them pinned for a defensive player. Everyone thought they were going Jalen Walker. They instead go the big body receiver, Tet McMillan from Arizona. And at that point, you're thinking, okay, well, the Saints could go Jalen here and have their traditional 3-4 outside linebacker spot filled. They could potentially go Tyler Warren and have that do-it-all offensive weapon. But as, you know, Kellen Moore said in the post-draft presser, it's a big boy game, Jeff. And so they go with the best offensive lineman available, and they get Kelvin Banks from Texas.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He said it's a big boy game. He said that to us in the pre-draft show. In the post-draft press conference, he said it's a trenches game, which, you know, I feel like he's saying the same thing, obviously. But yeah, the Saints were telling us for days, this is kind of what you're looking at. Like, we heard, want to build from the inside out. It's a big boy game. It's a trenches game. You know, they were telling you without telling you, hey, get ready for an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or whatever. I think edge rusher is still a pretty big need. But, you know, it's a situation that I just don't – if until your offensive line is where it needs to be, you know, whether it's your biggest need, whether it's, you know, up there on the list, you got to keep taking shots at it. And I've seen people say, well, it didn't work with Trevor Penning. Why do you keep spending picks on the offensive line? Well, you know, the Trevor Penning pick is why you're still spending picks on the offensive line, because you got to get that sorted out. And they didn't pick up his option. You know, I don't think that made the decision that they were going to take an offensive tackle, but I think their willingness to take an offensive tackle, if Kelvin Banks was on the board, it kind of made that decision for you. And I've seen people say it's a reach. I don't think it was a reach. We talked to Kelvin, and he kind of had his radar up anywhere from 6 on. He felt like, okay, this is a place I could land. The Jets took a tackle at number 7. So clearly there was some market there. I think Kelvin kind of fell down draft boards. I think he became a victim of people overthinking the situation, because when you look at him as a player, when you look at the skill set, the athleticism, the size, the ability, the demonstrated success at in the Big Ten, in the SEC, at Texas, a team that's been to the college football playoff semifinal each of the last 2 years. You know, it's the inverse of a Trevor Penning, a guy that you kind of had questions about the production, how he was going to develop at the NFL level. I don't have any questions about Kelvin Banks' production. My only question is where they choose to play him on day one.
Yeah, and the guys kind of dove a little bit into that. And to your point about Kelvin Banks and how high he could have gone, there were reports, Jeff, that that trade with Travis Hunter, where Jacksonville moved up from 5-2 to get the unicorn out of Colorado, the Heisman winner, had they stayed put at pick 5, and there was a lot of buzz that they really liked Ashton Jeanty, and Jeanty was off the board at pick 5, then the report is that the Raiders would have gone Kelvin Banks with the 6th overall pick. Now, because Jeanty was there, they went with the best player on their board. John Spytek kind of talked a little bit about that. But it's really funny how, you know, one trade really, really early in the draft kind of shaped that top 10 significantly. And, you know, Kelvin Banks ends up falling to pick 9.
And the only trade in the top end of the draft. We didn't see another trade until the Giants came back in and took Jackson Dart.
We should get into you know, the Atlanta Falcons trade eventually. We'll talk about that later, because it's definitely a questionable value. But staying with Kelvin, and kind of to your point about his production at the college level, his durability was also fantastic at Texas. You know, starting all 13 games at left tackle his freshman year in 2022, sophomore year, he was a first-team All-Big 12 member, started all 14 games at left tackle. And then 2024, he won all these different awards. He was a unanimous All-American. He started 15 games at left tackle. He only missed one game that season. It was the SEC Championship game where he had a left ankle injury. So out of 3 years where he was a three-year starter at left tackle at Texas, he only missed one game.
Right, and the competition level, you know, I don't think you're going to get much better than what you saw.
Well, that's like what people were complaining about with, like, the Northern Iowa pick with Trevor Penning. But, like, this is different, right? And it was the same thing with Will Campbell, who was a three-year starter at LSU. A three-year starter at left tackle at Texas, it's a little bit different.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the Patriots, they I think he's going to do great with them. I think Kelvin is a great pick for the Saints at number 9. And, you know, one thing that I was looking at, a lot of people are going to talk about the Eagles and how the Eagles found their success with Kellen Moore last year. I go back to the Cowboys in 2016. Kellen Moore, I've been doing that, Kelvin and Kellen, it's tough.
Yes.
Kellen Moore was on that Cowboys roster. He was a quarterback. He was a player in 2016, the year that they drafted Dak Prescott, slotted him behind arguably the best offensive line in the NFL, arguably with the best run game in the NFL with Ezekiel Elliott, and you had a fourth-round rookie quarterback immediately have success. He was the offensive rookie of the year. And to me, it's like, yeah, I go back to there. He sat there in first person, watched that happen, so it shouldn't be a surprise. He went out to the Eagles and kind of had success the same way. You built the offensive line. You pounded people over the head with a devastating game, and you had success. There should be no surprise that Kellen Moore and the Saints are in lockstep on their kind of philosophical belief that you need to start with the offensive line and build out from there. You know, we talked about it extensively yesterday. Going back to 2015, the Saints have used all – they have taken a first-round offensive or defensive lineman every year other than 2019, when they used their top pick, a second-rounder, to take Eric McCoy. So it's not new. It's just how they build, and it's their belief system.
Yeah, and so, you know, three tackles going in the top 9 as well, Jeff. I think we've called this draft, and a lot of folks have called it the same thing, the quote-unquote meat and potatoes draft, where it doesn't have, like, the super flash or pizzazz of last year with all the quarterbacks and top-level wide receivers. But if you can get some solid-level starters throughout this year or this year's draft, I think you're feeling pretty good. And Kelvin Banks just feels like a safe pick. He has, and we talked with him last night after the selection. He came on with Bobby, Mike, Deuce, Haas, and Steve. and the guys got to speak with him. Also a very high character guy. You can kind of hear it in his voice and how he answers the questions that they were throwing at him. We'll play that interview for those that missed it last night in a little bit here. But it's great stuff from Kelvin, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him in a black and gold uniform. Going back to your question from earlier, though, it's now how the Saints coaching staff will use him, because he is a day one starter. There's no question about it. There's a guy that's going to be plug and play for the Saints right off the bat. Now, what do they decide to do? Do they put him at left tackle, which has been his natural position for the 30-plus games that he played at Texas, and then move Taliese Fuaga back to right tackle? Or do you potentially keep Tali at left tackle because he was so good at left tackle in his rookie campaign, and you maybe play Kelvin Banks at left guard because that's kind of the question mark on this offensive line? And then you just have a real badass, you know, left side of your offensive line. I think it's an interesting one. Obviously, the Saints coaching staff will decide what they want to do with them. But when you can just kind of get a top level or top of the line offensive line prospect, you know, you can't pass on doing it.
No question. We're going to get more into the rest of the first round with Justin Mello when he comes on at 4:35. Draft analyst for the Draft Network. We're also going to hand off to Draft Fest. Starting at 6 p.m., you got the guys Deuce, Haas, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottilli, and Steve Geller out at Hooters in Metairie. But, you know, I am curious on your take. You know, a lot of people wanted a skill position. Tyler Warren was staring people in the face, a very popular pick, or at least a very popular mock draft pick for the Saints. And he kind of felt like, man, they could go here. They could really set up that offense. And, you know, not only did they not go Tyler Warren, Tyler Warren wasn't even the first tight end off the board. It was actually Colston Loveland out of Michigan who went to the Bears. Tyler Warren went two picks later. But, you know, I think that's a good indicator that, you know, we could sit here all day long, talk about mock drafts, have all these discussions. At the end of the day, so much of the kind of the mock draft conversations is a guess. And we're kind of trying to figure out, oh, how much does this team like this guy? How much does this team like this guy? You know, we were talking about is a tight end worth a top 10 pick? We didn't even have the right tight end. We didn't have the right tight end one in this draft class. So I just thought that was kind of fascinating to watch happen.
Yeah, and it was funny because, you know, it felt like the Jets pick at 7 was always going to be one of Armon Membu, the right tackle from Missouri, or Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. They go with, obviously, Membu. And at that point, you're wondering, okay, is Kellen Moore going to get this, you know, offensive weapon for the Saints at pick 9? And Warren didn't just go behind Loveland. He went a couple picks behind Loveland. And he went to, you know, the Colts, who everybody, it was the worst kept secret in pre-draft process that the Colts were going to take one of those two tight ends, especially if one of them were available. If both of them were gone at that point, they would have been in some trouble. But it was a huge hole that they had to fill. Tyler Warren goes behind Colston Loveland. A lot of the buzz, though, kind of leading up to the draft, Jeff, was that, yes, a lot of people had Warren as the higher-ranked player because he was the best tight end in college football this past year. But around league circles, it felt like it was really, really close. And some teams obviously had him above Loveland above Warren. And the Bears obviously were one of those teams.